Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for the word of the Lord. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I will give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And now a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when he saw them walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I have a sense that we're all feeling a bit battered by the waves right now. I see it in my own friends and family. I see it on social media, and I hear it directly from you. The boat we are in is being battered by the waves, and the wind feels like it's against us. We don't know how to get ourselves to shore. We're tired of Zoom meetings, and we miss our friends. We miss church and being together. Some of us are lonely, others overwhelmed. Some of you are navigating the impossible balance of digital learning and work and parenting and wondering all along if you're making the right decisions. I don't think I even have to list the circumstances that leave us as a people and a church feeling a little bit battered by the waves this morning. Today's scripture from Matthew is one of those moments for the disciples. Can you imagine how they felt as they sat in that boat far from shore and the waves and wind beat against them? I can only imagine that there was chaos on the boat as they feared for their lives. Jesus had called them to be disciples. He had performed miracles in front of them. In fact, just before today's text, Jesus had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And after all of this, had Jesus left them alone to die in a storm? Chaos surrounded them on all sides, and Jesus was seemingly nowhere to be found. Where is God in the chaos? Where is God when the wind is against us and we feel like we're about to drown? Where is God when the doctor calls or the bills are overdue? Where is God when the grief threatens to surround us? Where is God when we can't seem to maintain our grades or our friendships no matter how hard we try? Where is God when we feel maxed out with the demands of our jobs or kids or digital learning or social distancing or mask wearing? Where is God in the chaos of our lives? A few years ago, I had the opportunity to attend a conference in Denver, Colorado. The theme for the conference was God with us in the chaos. The keynote speaker one evening was one of my favorite authors and theologians, Nadia Boltz-Weber. And the scripture she chose to preach was this morning's New Testament text. "I've often heard this story preached," she said, "as the little disciple who almost could. Like Peter could have kept walking on water if he'd just thought, I think I can, I think I can. And that also with enough faith, you can walk on water too, all the way to Jesus. I was basically taught that Peter's only mistake was that he stopped believing in Jesus. I wonder what sort of message is sent to believers if the moral of the story is merely about our ability to overcome fears in order to be whole, loved by God, or faithful. If read this way, the story seems to say if you are not godlike in your ability to defy the forces of nature, then the problem is you don't have enough faith. And you should probably muster some up, because it's up to you to walk on water and make your way to Jesus. I guess I don't see that way of telling this story to be very good news. I'm done buying the way religion tries to convince us that through our own efforts we can make our way to God." She went on to say, "Peter, who as you know is like the spokesperson for the spiritual fool in all of us, thinks he can make his way to Christ. Maybe like we do, but his efforts fail him, like they do all of us. And we assume he sinks," she says, "because he doesn't have enough faith. But what if it wasn't the inability to walk on water that demonstrated a lack of faith? Maybe we need to hear this. Your inability to walk on water is not a failure. Sometimes chaos is too much, and we have no choice but to sink. Maybe we need that," she said. "Maybe we have to exhaust all of our own efforts and sink and let God be God for us. Because maybe this isn't the story of Peter's failure at all. Maybe it's the story of Peter's baptism. Peter exhausts all his efforts to make his way to God, and he sinks. So he has no option but to accept the hand of Christ reaching down to pull him up. Chaos does not win. God is present with us in the chaos, saying, hey, I'm here. Do not be afraid. Peter's lack of faith wasn't demonstrated by his inability to walk on water. Peter's lack of faith was assuming God wasn't already present in the chaos, and that Peter had to make his own way to God to be safe. What a powerful interpretation. When read that way, this story is certainly good news. Where is God in the chaos of our lives? Present, reaching out to hold our hand and saying, hey, I'm here. Do not be afraid. God is with us in the chaos. Perhaps our failures are just another way of reminding us of our baptism, of the grace and mercy and love offered to us in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful we were able to share in the sacrament of baptism today. Baptisms always have a way of making me weepy. Staring at a beautiful baby or adult whom God loved and claimed long before we could make any claims of our own. Sealing that person with the waters of baptism as Christ's own forever. Marking them with the sign of a cross to show that they belong to God. There's such profound love in that moment. such joy and promise. My eyes never seem to be dry at the end of a baptism because it's a reminder to me of how adored each of us is by God. Baptism is a covenant, a promise between God and that person, a promise that God loves them and will be with them when the waters are rough and when the waters are calm. But we make promises on baptism days too. We just made some a few minutes ago. Promises to love and care for one another. Promises to guide and nurture this person in word and in deed, with love and in prayer, and to teach them how to follow Jesus. In part, we are promising to be there with them in the waters of chaos, should they come. At that same conference, I heard a sermon from the Reverend John Brown. He described his daughter's pre-kindergarten assessment. He described how first they asked her to count to 20, and she did so perfectly, he added in a not so humble way. Next, they asked her to say the alphabet and identify shapes. Again, perfect. The final piece of the assessment was a series of questions meant to test life skills. Questions like, if you are hungry, what should you do? To which most students reply something like, get food or eat. The teacher read the last question to John's daughter. What do you do when you want to go into a room that is dark? His daughter replied, you hold someone's hand. The teacher looked at the booklet, flipped to the back, back to the front. Then she looked across the room to John and she said, it's not in the book, but it's the best answer I've heard all day. What do you do when you want to go into a room that is dark? You hold someone's hand. That is what we do as the people of God. That is what we do as a people of faith. Some people call it covenant. Some people call it community. Some people call it relationship or trust. It is how the church demonstrates to the world that God is with us in the chaos. We hold someone's hand. This is how Christ demonstrated to Peter that he was not alone. He reached out his hand and offered him comfort. He reminded Peter that when the waters were rough, he would not be abandoned. And that touch, well, that touch changed Peter, and it helped him to recognize Christ. How are we as the people of God reaching out to one another in the chaos? How are we with our lives and our actions demonstrating to our families, our friends, our children and youth, our neighbors, that God is always with us in the chaos? Holding one another's hand is part of our covenant and our calling as the people of God. It is how we say to one another, I am here. I will sit with you until the waters are calm again. Throughout these crazy pandemic days, I've thought and prayed for each of you. And I've also thought and prayed and worried about the children in our STAIR summer learning and liftoff programs. I wondered and worried what months out of school would do to their academic progress. I wondered and worried how our families who already struggle with food insecurity would continue to feed their families without the support of school breakfast and lunch. And then back in March, we opted for a digital summer learning program instead of our regular program at the Children's Fresh Air Farm. And I'll be the first to admit that when that decision was official, I shed some pretty big tears. There is nothing like spending a summer at the Fresh Air Farm. And I wondered and worried and prayed about how we could offer the kids that we love the kind of experience they were used to and deserved. And selfishly, I was just plain sad to miss out on all the hugs and love and joy we get to experience each summer. I wondered how we would be able to reflect that love and joy through Google Classroom and Zoom. But by the grace of God and with the help of countless donations and volunteers and the incredible staff I have the privilege of working with, we were able to offer our students a summer program that wasn't just academics. We provided produce through farmers to families and large non-perishable boxes to families every other week. We made up kits that included books and art supplies and PE materials, and we distributed them so that learning could still be hands-on. We had chapel and music, and we were able to share the very real and always present love of God with each child. We provided every child with a Chromebook, and we helped them to navigate the trial and errors of using them, and there were plenty of trial and errors. We offered virtual field trips and career exploration. And every weekday this summer, my kind, gifted, incredible staff signed on to Google Classroom with bright, energetic smiles and more love than you can imagine. And somehow, even digitally, they created a place where kids can feel known and loved and seen and safe. They taught me what it looks like to hold the hands of precious kids in the dark. And trust me, we were being held as well. And one day, in the midst of all of that, my phone rang, which happened about 1,000 times a day, because something was always up with the Chromebooks or Google Classroom or the assignments, something. It was a parent I've known for about 4 years, because all four of her kids have been in STAIR, Summer Learning, and Liftoff. She called a lot this summer because she was a single mom trying to help four kids navigate the ups and downs of digital learning. And as soon as I answered, she sputtered out, "I'm not calling about the Chromebooks. I just need someone to listen. I just need someone to talk to." The details of what she shared with me are private, but she wasn't calling for anything other than for someone to hold her hand in the dark. And she thought of me. I've never been more honored. I will sit with her until the waters are calm again. I learned how to do that from you. These pandemic days are difficult, and we're all feeling a little beaten by the waves. But we have an incredible invitation in this moment to hold one another's hand in the dark, to be a symbol to one another and to the world that God is with us in the chaos. Maybe you'll send someone a card or invite someone who lives alone for socially distanced coffee. Maybe you'll call a friend just to check in. Maybe you'll be a cheerleader for parents who are trying to balance so much right now. Maybe you'll make them dinner so they don't have to think about one more thing. Maybe you'll donate to the Blessing Box or make lunches or dinner for First Light. Maybe you'll pay it forward for a meal at Rojo or be a virtual STAIR tutor. Maybe you will simply sit with someone and listen while they share about what is making their boat feel rocky right now. Maybe you'll have the courage to call someone and tell them you need them to hold your hand in the dark. I pray that you will. Friends, none of us really know what is ahead. We don't know how long this crazy pandemic living will go on. We don't know what will come after it. What we do know is that on the journey ahead, there will be moments of deep, deep joy, and there will be moments of chaos and fear. But remember your baptism. Remember that in the moments when we feel like we are sinking, perhaps we are sinking deeper into those baptismal waters to be reminded once again of all the love found there. Perhaps we are sinking into the waters where we will find both the hands of Jesus and the hands of those who love us reaching out. Life is full of joy, and you are loved. Life is a mess, and you are loved. You think you are going through this alone, but you are wrong, and you are loved. The thing we're experiencing right now is so chaotic, but what is bigger is you are loved. You are loved fiercely by all of us, and you are loved fiercely by a God who is present in the chaos. Chaos does not win. God is with us forever. Amen.